find the scripture, Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Let me read this to you. Let me read this. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand it. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And remind me that I'm under a greater, a more strict judgment than anybody in this room on this campus today, because I'm a teacher of your word. I understand it as much as I can, and I accept my role in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here. I like Joshua. Not just the book Joshua. I like that too. I like the person Joshua. Joshua is entering into a new day. Have you ever entered a new day? Have you ever entered a new season of your life? Yes. Obviously we have. Yes. Yes. Joshua had journeyed with Moses and the people, but he's entering a whole new day. Some of the people that come up in our church, and they're on staff, and they go to pastor other places, they'll call me back. They said, I didn't know pastoring was so hard, being a lead pastor. And I said, when you become a lead pastor, you have a different view than anybody else. It changes, literally changes. Here, Joshua had a view as somebody who was used and journeyed along with Moses, but now he's in leadership to take the people into the land that God promised, and he has a whole nother view. He has a whole nother view. My home church, Camelsville Baptist, every time they have a pastor leave, they call me. Hey, Jeff, would you come back and pastor Camelsville Baptist? Sometimes they won't leave me alone. That's been happening for years. Now, if you don't know anything about Camelsville and my love for it, they love us too. They love Jeff and Julie. When Julie and I married in the summer of 82, the local newspaper did its own tabloid of our wedding. So we can be Camelsville's little boy and little girl in some ways. Well, Camelsville Baptist, they look at Julie and me as their little boy and their little girl. So they call me to pastor, and they always call. I know when the pastor's leaving, I'm going to get a phone call. Hey, man, would you consider? Some of the pastors that have been there a long time actually call me up. Would you just step in and succeed me? I said, listen, no. Here's why I won't do it. Because, number one, I don't feel called to, and I'm still called to you all. Amen. I got one from Tyra. I didn't get one from the rest of them. And here's what will happen. As soon as I become their pastor, I'll no longer be their little boy. You understand? It changes like that. They'll no longer think of me and Julie as a son and a daughter. Their view of us, and then our view completely changes. And so Joshua is a strategist. Moses used him. Joshua wanted to be used. He journeyed with his people. He heard God's promise. Now it's a whole other view, a whole different view. We can compare, maybe that we don't walk people into the promised land like he did, but it becomes a huge task. There's a new job that you're going to. There's a new season of your life. There's a lot of people we prayed for today, and they're at new places in their life that they never thought they would be. Julie and I are at places in our life that we never thought we would be. Never thought it. Was not on the radar. Was not a part of our 7-year plan. There are people we prayed for today that their world radically changed a week ago. Radically changed. So when you see a new task, a new season, a new venture of your life, what are we supposed to do? Tuck and run? No. Be strong and courageous. We become strong and courageous. That's what I want to give you today. A lot of my conversations with people, our world's going crazy. What are we going to do? Tuck and run? No. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Here's what I love about little David when he was a little shepherd boy. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? Do you remember where the giant comes out and taunts them? And David's just bringing food to his brothers. And he hears the taunt of that giant. And he's like, the Lord's with me. The Lord's with us. Let's go take this. And they're scared. They're frightened. And if you remember, there's the whole idea. Well, let's put David in armor. And he wears Saul's armor. Right? It's too big, too clanky. Right? And he shreds all out. He does what he does. He can use a sling. He knows how to use a sling. But here's a part that you may not notice in the story. It says David ran. Y'all finish it. Finish it for me. Those of you who know. David did what? He ran to the battle line. I mean, he wasn't playing paintball and hiding behind a tractor tire. You know, he wasn't dodging. What'd he do? He ran to the battle line. That's what he did. And I know a new season, a new whatever, can be a battle for a lot of people. Parents, listen to me. Parents, listen to me. Parents, listen to me. Don't teach your kid to be sheltered from the world. Teach your children to be strong and courageous. How do I do that? They're going to face all kinds of new stuff. You just help them to be strong and courageous. They're going to shed tears. Their little hearts are going to get broken. That's going to happen. Right? It's going to happen. If you're going to love a lot, you're going to hurt a lot. It's just the way it is. But teach them how to face these things. But the main way that you're going to teach them is not making them, but modeling it. As a mom and a dad, model, those of you who walk after the Lord, model this situation. So we got a picture of Joshua. It's a new day, new task. He's got a new view of what's going on. And the Lord tells him in these verses three times, be strong and be courageous. Let's look at verse 6. This is our first be strong and courageous. You will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give to them as an inheritance. One reason you and I can be strong and courageous is it's there in the two words, I swore. I swore. There's a promise there, and the promise is that the Lord keeps his covenant. He keeps his covenant. For those of you who are learning kingdom principles, here's one. If the Lord keeps his covenant, then what's the kingdom principle? You need to keep your promises too. Learn to keep your promises. What's one thing I hear all the time? Nobody keeps their word anymore. Right? Nobody keeps their word. So the Lord said, I have sworn to you what I'm going to do. I've made a covenant with you. I'm going to see that covenant through. One reason you and I can be strong and courageous, and the same reason he's telling Joshua that you would be strong and courageous, is the fact that he keeps his covenant with his people. What he promises to do with you, he will keep those promises. If you remember, I told you after Tom's death, I had one of those venting moments with the Lord. He didn't get mad at me, but I was kind of mad at him. Did he love me any less? No. Did I have a lot of questions? A bunch. But one of the questions the Lord gave me in my quiet time is, did I break any promises with Tom? Now, I got out a legal pad, Because I wanted to write down all the promises that God had broken. But you know what? I couldn't write down a single one. Then he asked me another question. Have I broken any of my promises with you? I got out my legal pad. I wanted to write down a lot of problems that the Lord said, or he didn't come through with. Did I write anything down? No. It became a very healing resolve with me. When I think through his promises, he's kept every one of them, every single one of them. I told a story in the back room. I was praying with a bunch of preachers in E-Town one day, years ago. And we had a prayer meeting once every month. We come to pray. And people would be new. There'd be about 15 or 20 preachers. I knew all of them. They knew me. And one guy was praying behind me. Now, some of you know a very passive Jeff. Some of you all know a real teddy bear Jeff. I hope you always know that real teddy bear Jeff. But there's a Jeff that'll get in your face too. And only a few of you have ever seen that Jeff. But this guy praying behind me kept praying, Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't leave me. Lord, please don't leave me. I turned around and told him to shut up. Why did I tell him to shut up? Come on, y'all be the preacher. Why did I tell him to hush? Lord's already said, I'll never leave you. Why waste the breath of asking the Lord not to leave you when he's already said he wouldn't leave you? Now, where did I get that? I just conjure up in my mind. It's just been the picture of the character of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I am with you. I will not forsake you. I'll not forget you. I'll never leave you. He says that in the Old Testament. He says it in the New Testament. It is a promise of God. I don't think I actually told the guy shut up, because Julie doesn't allow that word in her house. I think I just told him to be quiet. But I did turn around abruptly and said enough, you know, enough of that prayer, because he's already promised that he'll never leave us. So in this verse, Joshua can be strong and courageous. You and I can too. Why? The word I swore is a picture to his covenant. His covenant is that he is there. Look at Joshua 21:45. Now, I'm in Joshua 1, but we're going to skip toward the end of the book. Look what he says. None of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled. Everything was fulfilled. I learned it. The promises of God are true. Same thing. But do you see that? At the end of the book, he knows what the Lord told him in chapter 1. At the end of the book, he confirms this, that the promises of God, they don't fail. What does it mean to be strong and courageous? That's a question I have. What does that mean? Maybe you have that question too. To be strong and courageous means you're a person of action. That's why I use David running to the battle line. You know, David could, and everybody, Goliath could shout, and everybody shout back. Right? They could battle back and forth. Like, I left the ball game last night at Kroger Field, and I told a Gator fan, your new school colors are black and white. You just have to think through that one. We can get in shouting matches, can't we? And so Goliath and the people of Israel, the warriors there, they could get in a shouting match. David didn't get in a shouting match. David what? He took action. What did he do? He ran to the battle line. He runs to the battle line. So to be strong and courageous means you advance. You take it on. It means that you're alert. It means that you're prompt. It means that you're prompt. It means that you're prompt. What does prompt mean? Yay! There's my mark. You see what I'm saying? I'm ready. I'm prompt. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm prepped. Strong and courageous has the picture of advancement. Strong and courageous doesn't mean I'm going to stand strong and courageous. Strong and courageous means I not only stand that way, I advance that way. I advance it. I have learned, instead of trying to chase stuff necessarily, meaning being behind it, to just confront it. Just absolutely confront it. There are ways, there are windows you need to look, there are openings you need to look. You need to trust the Holy Spirit in that prompting. But do you see, it's not a tuck and run, it's an advance. Verses 7 and 8, this is the second, be strong and courageous. This be strong and courageous has a little different emphasis than the other two. What would be the difference? In verse 7, he says, above all. Above all. Above all, be strong and not courageous, very courageous. So if being strong and courageous is standing firm but also advancing from that posture, moving forward, he's asking you to move forward in this way. What is he asking you to move forward into? Into the Word of God. I'm not against you reading books, but I'd rather you read the Word of God first and books second instead of books first and the Word of God second. If you want me to give you an enumeration in a priority order, I just gave it to you. Read books, fine. Read the Word of God first and then books instead of books and then the Word of God. Because we'll take the commentary of man before we will take the commentary of God. And the advancement here, moving forward, is above all, be strong and very courageous. Observe the whole instruction of my servant Moses, all they had then. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. There's a whole lot to capture here. Where's the advancement? The advancement is for you to go to the Word of God. That's the advancement. It's not a last resort, it's a first resort. What do I do? What is the wisdom of Scripture? Something's got to happen here. Can't make this happen in you. It has certainly happened in me. But Scripture to me has authority. Scripture to me is not just a book of philosophy. Scripture to me is not, well, you might want to consider. Scripture to me is authority. I believe in the authority of Scripture. I don't believe in, I'll go to it if I need to. I glean from it. How? So I'll know how to live in the kingdom here on earth. How do I live a kingdom life? What does it look like? How is it a part of it? All that's involved in that. So I can't make you get to that point, but as a believer, you need to get to that point, that it is an authority of my life. It brings life. Scripture talks about itself. It says that it brings life to us. So there is a focus on the Word of God, and the Word of God focus leads to obedience. And I want you to look at 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. Saul, the king, he would hear from the Lord on what he needed to do, but he would do the opposite thing. And then Samuel would call his hand on it. And then, so to make up for it, he offered a greater sacrifice. Are y'all getting this picture? Instead of repenting and being obedient, he just said, well, I'll just give more fat from the rams. He'll be pleased with that. He'll be pleased with that. I'll just give a little more money to the church. Thank you. But I'd rather have your weekly obedience. I'd rather have your weekly obedience to the Lord than for you to live like you want, give one big check at the end of the year, and thinking that check is going to take care of your disobedience. Are you all with me? It's the same thing. Oh, pastor, I've been living wrongly. You need blacktop out there at your church, don't you? And the answer to that, yes. And if some of you are thinking, where does the pastor need blacktop? I want to have, see me after the service. I'll be happy to talk to you. But in the point of that is, I can live like I want, not change my ways, but I'm going to help the church with their blacktop. That settles it with the Lord. No. So we get to the point where we think if we give a great sacrifice and it's notice, that it takes up for the lack of disobedience. And Samuel said, to obey the Lord is better than sacrifice. To pay attention and focus on this in your life is better than heaving the fat of rams onto the offering, our altar, than being able to do that. Notice my sacrifice, Lord. Don't pay attention to my disobedience. Just notice my big sacrifice and just tell me everything's okay. I'm going to say this. If it lands, lands. I just think there's a lot of people that can sit in this building and buildings just like it on Sunday morning, and you think you have everything checked off, and on the day of judgment, you are going to be blown away. Why? Because we bought into the pattern of let me offer something greater instead of living obediently. Now, I'm the preacher. I'm not the judge. But I'm telling you, I've pastored a lot of people in 33 years. And they think the Lord's going to look at them and go, ah, that didn't matter. And you're going, hey, preacher, where's the grace? The grace is here. But by gosh, when you get up in the morning, aim at the bullseye every single day. Aim at it. You're saying, I'll never hit it. I don't care. Aim at it anyway. I want to live and arrange my life to a life of obedience. I guess that's that little word of knowledge that I ask for when I pray, because that's not on the notes, by the way. I do have a few names written down here to look at during this time. I'm just kidding. There's no names there. Did you see my point? Because we'll get caught into how much we do, meaning the sacrifice, then maybe what I can give and offer will just cancel out all those disobedience. What cancels that out is God's grace. God's willing to take your life. He's willing to, if you come to him and say, listen, you're right, I'm wrong. He's willing to dismiss every bit of that from your life. That's unbelievable grace. That's the song, Amazing Grace. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. He gives that to us richly and fulfillingly, and to be able to say, hey, you know, I've lived a life of disobedience and selfishness. I'll get to my own personal life here in just a moment. But my point in that is Scripture becomes authority, and not only authority, it becomes a focus that leads to obedience. And Samuel says obedience is greater than sacrifice. James says that if you have faith, then your faith is going to work out obedience, and obedience is your works. It's going to be a life of works and obedience to him. This success that we mentioned in verses 7 and 8, Miles, if you'll go back to those verses, 7 and 8, and go back to verse 8, go to verse 8 if you will. It says that you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Man, that lights up, doesn't it? Do you see dollar signs there? Please tell me no. The right answer is no, right? Because you have to understand Scripture to know what this means. Success here is not the prosperity preaching that goes on. Success here means wisdom. Because if you understand God's Word, you being wise, having godly wisdom, is considered great wealth. Godly wisdom is riches. Godly wisdom is riches. It's to be sought after. So what's the success here? money, dollars and cents, prestige, new subdivision. What is it? What is it here? The success here is wisdom. And let me show you how I can back that up and show it to you. Go to verse 7, Miles, if you will. Above all, be strong and very courageous. Carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it. Here's the wisdom to make the right choices. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you will have success, which is wisdom, wherever you go. And you're going, well, preacher, I like the way you put success and wisdom there together. It goes together, trust me. Don't turn from it. What do I seek? More than more money, I seek godly wisdom. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're wise. But in our world, the world's concept is more money equals wisdom. It's not true. What equals wisdom? Godly wisdom. Knowing how to react to the kingdom of God. So this is kingdom empowered. It's not just directional of left and right, but it actually means your everyday life. So our focus here on verses 7 and 8, be strong and courageous. Please remember it's advancement, okay? And if we're going to advance and be strong and courageous, where do I go for that? My advancement is into the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to cause me to have a kingdom focus and a kingdom life and then kingdom reaction. I hope you get that picture. And I'm going to try to put that all together in verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. This is the third, be strong and courageous. He's reminding Joshua, haven't I commanded you this? Haven't I already told you this? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Make a promise to me that if you ever hear anybody praying, Lord, don't leave me, will you ask them to be quiet? Because look at the promise. He's with you. He's with you wherever you go. Let's break this down. It says, don't be afraid is the word for tremble. Don't be afraid. Listen, let me take you back in a little bit into my life. I grew up in Greene County to the eighth grade. Then Campbellsville, which is Taylor County, and freshman year. And I have another fellow Taylor Carnian right here in the audience with me today. I'm not only a green freshman, and you know how that feels, even if you're in the same school system, right? But I'm not only a green freshman, I'm a brand spanking new, moved into the community green freshman. And you walk into a high school with the last name Eaton and see how much fun you get made of. Okay? Just let your imagination happen. But scary. It can be scary. How do you take that on? Parents, how would you handle your child in that situation? How would you do it? It's tough. It's tough as a kid. But we face things all the time. Gail's here. Charles Humston's like a dad to me. You all know that. You all know that. He's not just a friend. He's been my Barnabas for 25 years. So when I look at the future without him, and I said at his funeral, my leadership style with Charles is I just want him to ooze off on all of you. I just want you to understand and let him just wear off on all of you. You think it's funny. It's true. That was my leadership plan. Charles, affect as many people as you can. So when I'm getting ready to have Mama Lou's funeral too, a lady who helped start our church. I had one guy saying, I hope I'm not that close to you. You know what I'm saying, meaning because people are passing on and going on to be with the Lord. But my point is, I've got to stand now without two great encouragers in my life. And Gail, I'm not saying you're not an encourager. Don't you get that wrong. But my point is, I've got to stand boldly and with courage in our future. Because these are people that I actually rested on. I really rested on. When we started Hope Church, we met in Lou's house, which is now the house of my mother and father-in-law. Every Sunday afternoon, what did we do wrong? What can we do right? What can we add? We had a summary meeting every Sunday night when we started back in 1988. Where'd that happen? Right there in the living room of Lou, which is now the living room of my in-laws. So what do I do? Throw up and quit? No, I've got to stand boldly and courageously. My life for the last 3 years has been nothing but a season of grief, and it continues. So what do? Tuck and run? No, I've got to stand boldly and courageously. How do I do that? Well, I've got to stand on the promises of God. Not only that, I have to stand on the fact of He is with me and He will absolutely never leave me. So this word means don't tremble, don't be afraid. And then discouraged means don't let fear grip you. Don't let it conquer you. Listen, it's scary. It is scary. New seasons of our life are scary. Things that happen in our life that are not according to our plans are scary. I mean, have you looked with empathy at the Bahamas? Have you looked with empathy the just the devastation that went on there? I have nothing left. I mean, these people are facing a whole new chapter. Some of them just starting over with the clothes on their back. I don't know what resource they have, if any. But how do we do that? We do that with being strong and bold and being courageous. So it does become scary. But here's the questions I want to ask you. So where do I get this strength and courage? Amazon Prime? I'll give it to you by Tuesday. Where do I get this stuff? By just attending regularly? I get it that way? How do I get this stuff? Where does it come from? Well, from what we've handled today, 6 through 9, you get it from the Word of God. I learned to be like David and run from the battle line. What, did David do that because he was a naive kid? No, he did it because he spent time with the Lord while he was taking care of the sheep. He knew the Lord. He knew the strength of the Lord. And so he was able to run to the battle line because he absolutely knew who the Lord was. The second thing of where I get this strength and courage is the promises of God. I get it from the promises of God. There is life there. There's absolutely life there. There's understanding there. There is impact there. Here's something I really want you to get. Now, Rich, you won't hear it. It's a question. Or really, it's a challenge. When you learn the kingdom of God, look at me. I want everybody to look at me. It'll mess you up. Okay? Why? Because you think you've got it all figured out. Let me give you some 4 examples. When Julie and I married, I was in management of the UPS, and I taught a 10-year-old Sunday school class. Okay? 10-year-old Sunday school class. Now, I'm going to let you be one of the leaders of the church that I attended then, all right? It was Kemsville Baptist, and I teach 10-year-olds, okay? Knew every one of them, incredible kids. Number one, I never did study my lesson till that morning, and I'm the teacher. Number two, I was always 15 minutes late. The boys would be sitting in there. Mr. Cave, the superintendent over that age, would be there, and he'd have to watch those boys till I got there late. And I bounced in like I was God's gift to the church, you know. By the way, you ought to be glad I'm here teaching these kids. I'm late. Hang on, it gets worse. As soon as I finish Sunday school, I go to Lincoln Homestead Golf Course in Springfield, which is Washington County. Do y'all know where that is? And I play golf. Never attended worship, didn't tithe, didn't do anything. I just taught Sunday school, got there late, got my lesson plan together on Sunday morning, which was just halfway, because if you're going to be 15 minutes late, you don't have to study for that much, right? Now, I'm going to ask you something. Should I or should I not have been a leader in that church? I want you, you ask me. Answer it for me. Spit it back to me. No. Absolutely not. Tell me why. I was lazy. There you go. Let me tell you what's wrong with it. I was more important on making my tea time at Lincoln Homestead after church on Sunday morning at the Sunday school hour. Julie went on singing the choir. Looked like everything was great. This is what Logan preached on. You got a face of faithfulness, but behind it, there's no faithfulness whatsoever. I wore the suit and the tie, Kelly green pants, navy sport coat, white shirt with a Kelly and navy tie stripe, white buckskin shoes. I looked like I was serving the Lord. You know who the last person I was serving was? The Lord. And our problem is we've got people doing this all over our nation, and especially this area right here. Those people are leading our churches. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the last thing on my mind was obedience. The last thing on my mind was kingdom action. I wanted golf action. Go ahead. Why did I go to Springfield and play golf? Come on. Huh? So nobody at church would see me? Come on. You think I haven't done the stuff y'all doing? You crazy. And we wonder what's wrong with the church. I didn't help the church one iota. But man, I walked in there like I was the gift of God. And you know what? I didn't do a thing for the advancement. Here's the point that you've got to understand. When you understand the kingdom of God, it's going to mess you up. Because a lot of us think we've already got it figured out. For example, let me give you this. We know that doing the wrong things is sin, right? All of you know that. But James takes sin a whole nother way. He said, knowing to do the right thing and not doing it is sin. You're going, well, that's the same thing. Is it? Is it? I know what the wrong things are. You do too. You don't need me to tell you that. I promise you. Everybody in here knows what God blesses and what he doesn't. I'm telling you, if you'll just get it to the baseline, you know. But James says there's another level of sin, and it's knowing to do the right thing and dodging it. Knowing to do the right thing. When you learn that kingdom principle, it'll mess you up. I mean, you'll think, well, Lord, forgive me, I missed an opportunity. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's knowing to do the right good thing and skirting the issue. I always try to give you glimpses out of my life. And you know, back then, I thought I was living a faithful life. The enemy had duped me. He had deceived me. I didn't want anything to do with ministry. I'll just be God's gift to Campbellsville Baptist Church. And they ought to just be glad that I'm here. I didn't understand obedience. As I began to learn the kingdom of God, it messed up my life. And I'm so thankful that it did. Why? Because there's life there. There's not only life there, there's understanding there. And it can be scary. Remember what we say in our discipleship culture. You can't learn what you think you already know. So that's why I want you in the Word of God. I want you there to see it. Not somebody else's idea or even their commentary on it. What says the Lord about these situations? And I'm going to say it to this because I love you. If there was a bridge out and you were going down that road, I'd stop you and tell you the bridge is out. Same thing here. Many of you all know what God is going to judge, and you're thinking he's going to change his mind on that day. I want to tell you, our God never changes. There is no variance of change or turning in him. What he says, he will judge on that day. He will justly judge on that day. There will be no, it's the 21st century, God needs to catch up. You hear me? I'm not saying that because I hate you. I'm saying that because I absolutely love you. If the bridge is out, I'm going to tell you so. I'm going to stop you and let you know. If you journey on, that's your business. But I'm telling you, when it comes the day of judgment, He is going to judge exactly like He said He would. It won't change. There's no appeal. There's no amendment. There's no anything. That's the way it would be. So what are you going to do? Today can be a day of surrender to the Lord for you. You're saying, Jeff, it just seems bleak. Listen, He's giving you every chance to walk in His grace and be completely forgiven and free. Every act of disobedience in your life, every bit of it, He is there to forgive you and to redeem you and to make you a brand new person. I'm asking you, take that opportunity today and surrender your life to Him. Our invitation is given for you to come and surrender. There'll be people here to pray with you, for you, minister to you, help you in those decisions. There'll be people there. We offer communion. We give it to those who are believers. The bread represents His body given. The drink represents His blood shed. And you take the bread, dip it into the drink. Remember His sacrifice. Before you consume it, give thanks for what He has done to me. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I love the Lord. I know He's called me to do this. I'm telling you, His grace is available to you. His grace to forgive you and to redeem you is available to you. I know I've said some harsh things today, some things that may have made your eyebrows go up a time or two, but I want to remind you, He is here to absolutely dismiss all of that from your life. And I love you enough to offer you that. So does He. I can't give it to you. He does. But I also love you enough to warn you. Absolutely warn you. Guys, I've lived fake. I can smell fake a mile away. I've been there. I've done it. I understand it. I was a deceived man. And the Lord started waking me up. But how'd that happen? I started getting into His Word. Be strong and courageous. Get into the Word of God. And then you'll know the promises of God. And then you'll be able to advance to the kingdom of God. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them. Holy Spirit, we know that You spoke to all of us, yet You spoke to each of us. We have within us, we can choose to follow Your leading today. We can choose to grieve, quench You, and go on about our way. But Father, I pray for the strength and the courage for people today to surrender to Your heeding, Your pleading, Your calling. I pray for that. I pray that they have the strength and the courage to surrender. Father, bless these people today. Let us see new seasons and new days of our life and go with strength and courage because of Your Word and because of Your promises. And we stand on them, live in them, trust them, pass them on. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, would you stand? Would our counselors find their spot? If you'll do that. And as Tucker leads us, you respond. You come.